Good morning and welcome to episode number 10 of the Arisen podcast. I'm Odangi. Yeah, number 10. I'm Odangi. I'm coming to you live from Australia via the power of Away Vessel. The other fine host of this podcast is the back-to-back-to-back Orna content creator of the year, Mr. Floor 300, the most attractive man in all of Scotland, the Orna legend, Mr. Shabash. How are you, Shabash?
Good morning. Hi, Dangy. How are we doing?
Doing fantastic, mate. Full of energy.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Mr. 300, is that... that's an old now, old one now. You know, we're gunning for 500
is,
at the moment.
It yeah, is, I guess but you, got, keep the title. You got the title. Yeah. Yeah, you get the title. The title. That's right.
All right. Thanks.
Need to people can't of, take it from you.
Well, that's, that's a good thing. Do you have a...
You know...
I guess an introductory one for you would be... Tomo, my dad works for Orna Dangi, something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. My dad works for Orna is my favorite accomplishment in my Orna career so far, having that as a title. You know what's interesting? I was watching my own videos that I recently did, and I just realized I have zero energy in my intros for my own videos. I'm going to have to work something out there. Yeah, I need an introduction. That's the thing that I can do. I need to charge myself up before an episode, so I'm going to have to work on that. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love those.
Got some titles for me?
Well, I did love the videos, but yeah, I reckon you could bring a bit more energy, Dangy. You know, you seem a bit more hyped for this podcast that we do once once every moon cycle rather than, yeah, these awesome new videos. By the way, with the sunshine there, it completely makes me want to go outside and start a new character in Orna, regardless if it's actually like shitty weather here. So I really enjoyed that, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Thanks. Yeah, it's good fun. Like, and right now I have the flexibility where I am allowed to go outside. We had for so long too many restrictions where if I even was outside just exercising, I'd have to have a mask on. So it's a bit different for us right this second. Things might change, but it's awesome to get out and about, and it's been a bit of fun starting a brand new character, which I'm sure we'll have a chat about at some point.
Absolutely. I think it's on the list. Talking about lists, shall we start with the last month, December? Quite a lot of things going on in December.
Yeah.
I don't know where we start. Normally talking about the past event raid of the previous month, see what kind of gear we got, etc. And Scrooge and kind of Ebon Scrooge, something that I guess yourself and at least my main characters, we don't necessarily focus on anymore. However, it is a super good raid for, you know, lower tier players, tier 5, tier 6, and tier 9. So, good to see you make a comeback. Also, actually, the one piece of gear that everybody tries to get is these ornate presents, actually, with the increased, the increased luck chance with the quality bonus. Yeah. So, I don't know if you tried to get one of them, actually.
Well, I never did in the past, right? Like, presents, we weren't quite sure how it worked, that the quality thing wasn't really, well, it wasn't a thing for ages, right? It didn't change anything. So I've just got common presents. And through that month, I had a lot on, so I didn't get to do stuff through a kingdom raid, but because there were other raids present through summoning scrolls through the month, I did summon a heap of raids, and because Scrooge was still there, I got a heap, and I've actually got probably like four or five of them left where I'm just praying and hoping for a higher roll of those presents, because I desperately want them for summoning scroll farming, for example.
You're right, yeah. We'll come on to how many raids you summoned in a second, but there is a bunch of Scrooge raids in there. For sure. I think I definitely didn't pick up any ornate, but I have a decent bag of treats which I use normally, and I think just have some famed presents from like 2019 or something, which I still use. I still use, to be honest. I mean, this the Scrooge gear, especially the tier 5 gear, like the top hat, the jolly leggings, I mean, if you can get them, I mean, speaking personally, you know, with alt characters, like lower level characters, I have, I've got some legendary gear for them, and it's just, it's actually god tier gear, like balance stats way higher than anything else you normally get.
Yeah.
So hopefully some new players out there got some juicy items from there.
Fingers crossed, mate. Yeah. I mean, we see a lot of the players, like Dave the Grey always talks about it, about the top hat in particular. And I reckon through the last month, if anyone came to Discord and they're in, you know, those middling tiers, they would have gotten that piece of advice, get that gear because that'll carry you. Like if you get a top hat that's a good quality in tier 5, it's going to carry you for a while. So, yeah, there's some cool items in there for sure.
Absolutely. And talking about presents, what about these Stranger's Gifts? Did you manage to pick up any of them, open them on Christmas Day? That was an interesting thing to wake up to.
That was awesome, man.
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. The boss man doesn't tell me everything like this and lets me find out some surprises along the way. And I thought that was super cool. Just seeing the background change color on Christmas Day, I'm like, what's going on here? And then you're seeing people like opening them on Christmas Day, getting better stuff out of it, I guess. It was pretty awesome to see. And some of the community had guessed that might have happened, so held on to their presents until Christmas Day to open it at either after the event or on Christmas Day. We were rewarded for doing so. So, yeah, how cool was that? Extra thing added in there.
I had no idea it was going, but immediately, you know, at the start of the month when I started getting these, I said to myself, right, I'll save these for Christmas Day. I don't know why. I didn't know anything was going to happen, but some people got like 10 summoning scrolls. I tended to get just some materials, like 10-ish materials. It was just the fact that you got a big stack of items. I thought it was really cool.
Materials were awesome. Like prior to Christmas Day, if you're opening them, you're just getting the normal chest reward. So if you are walking around and you see a chest on the ground, you click it, that's the same sort of rewards you were getting out of the Stranger's Gifts. And then, opening them on Christmas Day and getting a stack of 10 of some random material was sick. Wasn't expecting that at all. That's a big booster to people trying to level their gear or trying to ascend, I guess, at the later tiers. But, that was awesome.
So that's two things from December. What about this?
So much.
Okay, let's talk about, we're kind of talking about gear. So let's keep going on these, on the rest of the raids. 10 mm-hmm. days of Orna raids. This was absolutely awesome. Mm. You know what? I was still, you know, kind of on the cool down after Arisen Morrigan, right? Coming out in November. So like start of December, I was definitely not playing at all, really, you know, doing the bare minimum for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Gauntlets and wars. And I wasn't really planning on raiding super hard when these 10 days, these world raids, actually not just world raids, a mixture of kingdom raids and world raids came about. However, a lot of the guys in the kingdom were pretty pumped to, you know, chase a couple of things like Surtur, Hell, Kerberos, and I think from a higher tier standpoint, a lot of the hype was around Ferocious Ceres, the coup with this amazing Ferocious Bullseye adornment. So I don't know, I can't remember which day it was, whether it was like, I can't remember which day it was, but when that day happened, I was like, I think I spent an hour and a half summoning scrolls. just went for it, I think. But not too hard. Well, relatively not too hard. I didn't spend all my scrolls on the cow. Maybe 150 scrolls, something like this.
Decent chunk.
Yeah, it's quite a good chunk. I've been saving these for like a year, I guess.
Yeah.
Almost a year. And invited a couple of people to just come and tag them. They got one of them, of course, Dave the Grey. He loves a tag. I think he got... So I think I got like, I don't know, 15 or 20 cows. Didn't get any quality eyes except one.
Really?
And I got one famed one, which is a bit of a shame. I know you have a very nice one, which you got literally day one.
I got two ornates in the first event. I got two ornates and a legendary. Yeah.
You got that like the first 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, straight away, my first ornate. Like, that was insane. Yep.
That was before I kind of knew how good these were going to be. I was like, oh, cool. Dangy, mm-hmm. that's a nice item, Dangy, and like completely ignored you. But that's, yeah, the stats in it are just super good, and I saw loads of people like summoning stuff, not just in the kingdom, you know, just in general around the community. Okay, we need to get this ferocious item.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get it from, because you can get it from tier 9. It's a tier 9 item. So
yes,
yeah, a lot of people going for that, and you know, the fact that crit affects skills now that came in. I think that came in after the original Ceres, ferocious Ceres raid, right? So I think the crit in the additional crit from your gear, it just made the ferocious eyes like a really wanted item now.
Yeah, I feel like it was around the same time. I don't know if it was maybe halfway through that month or something. Pretty close, wasn't it?
Was it April? Was that the April balance patch?
Yeah, potentially. I'd have to dig through, but I remember it being pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, have you got rid of all your raids yet?
Like, no, so interesting thing happened on Ceres Day. There was a lot of people summoning raids, and because we had that 10 days of raids going, people were, you know, using their scrolls at an increased rate. And when you have a lot of people doing one thing, any sort of common feelings will come to the surface a little bit, and it was starting to be a noticeable trend that people were saying, you know, like, it would be great if the event raids were a little bit more favored in these summoning scrolls, if there was a little bit better weighting towards the event raids. And our great man Odie cares greatly about people's enjoyment, so he went ahead and made an adjustment to make it so event raids do show up a little bit more from your summoning scrolls. And people had already used some scrolls on that particular day, so weren't overly excited about that happening after they used the scrolls. And once again, great man Odie comes in after the fact and lets people know that he can offer a refund of sorts, where if you don't touch those raids, he could take them away, something like that, if you send him an email. So he lost a few hours of his day just going through emails, which he's a great guy doing that. But yeah, I originally had planned to use all of my scrolls and probably spent a big chunk of that day instead, just like sort of going through Discord a little bit. I did get to use, I think, about 80 scrolls.
Okay.
And yeah, I think in total I probably got about 9 or 10 ferocious Ceres, of which I've still got probably 6 or so sitting there. But last time the event was around, I got 22 eyes anyway, so I was sitting pretty already.
Got
so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If I can bring that up close to 30, that'd be fantastic. But
use it on a couple builds. It was, you know, I had enough previously for one build at a time, and I was just you take the adornments out, etc. But it's so much easier having multiple builds ready to go. So
yeah.
I mean, OD refunding was it's a great thing. I guess the fact you said you spent a few hours on it, there is quite a take up in the numbers of people requesting a refund, right?
I think like the big thing for me though was just the fact that he listened to that desire to get the event raids a little bit more frequent in those summoning scrolls. I think that's cool, you know, and that's an ongoing impact going forward, right? So that's fantastic that was heard. Sometimes this happens, you know, you need a situation where a lot of people are doing one thing for it to rise to the surface a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, he could have done it quietly in the background and nobody would have known. But he decided to be really kind to everyone, which is, we're lucky to have the dev that we have, right?
Is he kind to you?
He is.
All right. No, he's kind to he's everyone. <fantastic.
laughs> He hasn't got it in his heart not to be. He's Canadian. But yeah, so I've got a few raids still sitting there actually to kill, which is great because it gives me some stuff to use for content.
Ooh, content.
Yeah.
Dangy Northern Forge, official Northern Forge content. Love it. What's coming up next? Part 2, your Let's Play?
Oh, in the content, yeah. Got some videos that I want to do for sure, but the Let's Play series, I'm really eager to get that one out with some sort of regularity for sure. I'd love that to be a journey that people can follow along with, have a bit of fun. But yes, very excited by that.
Well, I guess you're a Let's Player, you won't be getting up to the world raids yet in the next episode.
Not yet. Not quite. It's a while away. That's right.
So what about these other raids? Because we talked about one, but there's 9 other raids end of December.
Yeah. So I think there was a fair bit of popularity spread amongst the raids. I think the big ones that were really popular were Ferocious Ceres for sure. The Finesse World Raid. So people having an opportunity to revisit that and use all their scrolls on that day. That was probably a really, really popular one. And I have seen so many screenshots in Triumph and Tragedy or on Reddit of people getting some pretty cool swords. I believe you got a decent sword from him, is that right?
Got a Chotel, the recurve sword.
That'll do. You get proficiency with that, right?
I do, yeah. It'll do. Dang, I kind of wish these... I think it's probably the rarest, one of the rarest gear in the game, right? Because it only drops from Finesse, which is a world raid. And just by the fact it's an event raid, and in the normal month, it also gets spawned alongside Balin as well. But this month, this 10-day period, it was, you know, by itself. Well, I guess it had Scrooge as well in as the event raids in the summoning pool. But yeah, it felt like the spawn rate for Finesse, and I guess all these 10 days of raids, it was a little bit higher than it was previously. So I just said, okay, this is some rare gear, maybe not going to bother to get it again or until something better comes out. And even though I have a couple of fairly nice Morrigan weapons, Arisen Morrigan weapons, I just said, okay, this is rare, let's try and get it. And I, for some reason, I just kind of went all in. And I spawned something like 51 or 61 finesses, which required like 250 summoning scrolls, I think.
Well, that's not too bad, though. That rate, 250 scrolls to get 50s, good, right?
One in five, yeah. Four, one in five, somewhere between there, depending on if I got 50 or 60.
Yeah,
it took, I think it took an hour and 20 minutes to spawn all of that. But, dang it, the thing is, I spent one full day smashing these raids, like actually completing the raids. And like zero burnout, I was like, I was kind of zoned in, kind of zoned out. Just kind of, you know, using a particularly strong raiding build, by the way, Gilgamesh Cataphract. Which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Using that to smash through all these raids. And I was expecting to, just feel really tired, really burnt out. And but I didn't. Like, I cleared everything except my Arisen Morrigans in one day. I think it was that like Boxing Day or the day after or something? Yeah, you know, chill day, holiday. And got a 197 or 198 Chotel, which I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Don't know what I'm going to use it for. It needs
something. It's got ward on it, right?
It's got ward on it. But that's about it.
Swap off your questing bow, laid in your endless, and start using that instead. That's cool, man. Like, that you didn't get the burnout, especially following that Morrigan month thing. Sisters of Morrigan thing has now the second year of it proving to the world that maybe it burns people out a little bit. So I don't think that the world should be too shocked if that one's maybe revised as to whether it comes back at all. I don't think that that's a great spoiler. I think that that's something that is definitely being talked about. Do we bring this back? And if we don't, we just need to give a way to access that gear in different ways, which is, you know, the reason that people will be worried about it going away is that it
never comes
objectively
back.
Some of the better gear. So as long as we can work out a way to provide access to that gear in different ways, I think that event spanning a whole month coming back would be a shock to me, because it really does. At the end of that month, you can feel the vibe. People are just tired, which is fair. It's grueling, challenging, and if you don't get what you want, it can be hard.
Yeah,
and that's across all tiers.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's not the spoiler I was expecting, but one we can probably get behind. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Just the fact that the stat-wise, the gear is like unmatched, really. At the moment, anyway, especially the weapons for a lot of builds, end game builds, you really want to get something nice. And if you don't, you spend the whole month raiding trying to get it, and it's not a raid you can so easily spam for for 99% of players and builds. So, I mean, I remember I was kind of lucky this year. I got stuff relatively early on in the month. So kind of chilled towards the end, but I remember last year, and last year was really difficult. I say last year, actually, 2020. The year before.
Yeah.
Man, like, it was hard. It was hard to keep playing. And Okay, I mean, as you say, as long as it comes back somehow and people still have access in some ways, I don't see any issue with that, personally. So that's cool.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that I think wouldn't be a shock to me. So, you know, if that's something that I can confirm, I'd like to let people know earlier rather than later, not in November this year. We'll let them know earlier. But the rest of those raids, like Finesse was popular. I think Trevelyan coming back was a cool thing because people want that charm from him. You know, there was other things that happened through the month besides the alpha, and, you know, there was new Godforge bosses, which is cool. Yeah. But also that friends and family event. I think that.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal. I don't know if you saw the follower sharing that was going on in, both your own Discord server, main Discord, and on Reddit. It was crazy. People just like listing every rare pet that they have, come over to my house and come get it. It was awesome, man. That is some of the coolest community stuff I've seen.
No, that's brilliant. You know, I saw a couple of people preparing for it in the run-up, and, you know, they had, I know Untold, he had, I don't know how many bestiaries, but he literally sectioned everything off. So he had like aisles, like aisle B.
Oh, really?
Section that's 5, so you know, cool. this kind of stuff, like ready to go. And, you know, luckily for me, you know, I didn't need to pick up anything, but a lot of people wanted to get stuff, and what a great idea, I think. Yeah, really good idea.
Yep. Yeah.
Why not? Let's see it every year, hopefully.
I think that'd be a cool thing to carry on, for sure. I'm really glad that came. I was thinking it might come for a day, but it came for like 5 or something like that, I think. And it was awesome just seeing people sharing the followers to, you know, to anyone who wanted them. I don't think I saw much like, only to my friends. It was people listing every pet, come get it, and just free for all. It was awesome, awesome stuff. You know, even people trying to get the Phoenixes the month before they would likely come.
Yeah, 5 days early. Yeah.
You know, getting the ones that are maybe coming soon. But then there's other pets in there that are pretty cool as well. Like, you know, you get an Agony, you get whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the other thing that happened with the raids as well is that you could buy the skins for each one of those days. That was pretty cool as well. Because some people had missed the skins throughout the year, and then they got an opportunity to buy them, which I know was something that was requested pretty heavily when people knew that the 10 days of raids was coming. So it's a jam-packed month in terms of events. Yeah.
What else happened that month apart from events?
Bit of a patch.
Yeah, big patch, yeah. Big balance patch.
Yeah, so big balance patch. I reckon that you might get your opportunity to chat about it. Yeah, I mean, this is a balance patch that was on a high level impacting a lot of late tier players primarily, with some sprinkled in changes for some lower tier stuff, including things like counterattack for Blade Master, the Valhallan class line. So every I guess, follower class, if you like, had slight tweaks in terms of how much they gave your follower, in terms of stats and action rate. And then that was tweaked with Tamer and Beastmaster. So it sort of worked out the same, but it was split differently between the classes. They all have equalized attack and magic now, which is really cool. And there's a couple of examples of that where that is really, really cool. Like I think Freya, was a bit of a outlier in the Valhallan classes. And now it's, you know, you can go magic or melee the whole way through and it's not that big of a deal. That sort of stuff's cool, and they've got these new call skills, so you can kind of command your follower to do a certain thing, which is pretty awesome. So I know that I've seen that being played around with heaps. Then we had other changes for things like Heretic, Omnimancer, both getting the... So Heretic got Deadfast, which is a big deal for Heretic. Pretty big deal, as well as a raised magic stat. So it was a little bit more competitive with, say, like Realm Shifter, Gilgamesh, and Iconoclast, the class passive that would boost the class's stats after a certain percentage of mana was depleted. It used to kick off from 50% mana, so that gap between 50 and 0% was where the stats started to increase. Now it kicks off from 100%, so you start to get stronger immediately from battle. So Heretic's really seen a big change, and you can tell that based on the people that are playing it and having a lot of success raiding and doing gauntlets with Heretic, where you know, they could before, but just not quite as fast as perhaps some of their peers. And Omnimancer's seen some similar stuff where it's increased its magic stat. And it's now got Life Siphon to match with Heretic, Necromancer. So it's sort of starting to feel like those classes, the transition from T8, T9, T10, feels more consistent the whole way through.
More alike.
So the Magic class has got a bit more fun. You played around with them at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Heretic, definitely. I mean, this Steadfast change is actually huge, because it means you can just actually drop the stats immunity accessories, which were almost required if you wanted a smooth raiding experience or themed dungeon experience. Briny Pendant, Ring of Anduin, get them to fuck. Fire in some nice stuff like Lugus Gauntlets. Been using them in dungeons. And I don't know, maybe you know, if you're doing themed dungeons or party dungeons, if these kind of buffs which occur on, you know, when you do an attack or even when you do a skill, do any kind of thing apart from drink a potion, if you hit multiple enemies, do you know if there's an increased chance for these to proc? Like, does it proc per enemy almost? Do you know or not?
I think I just dropped out for a second. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back, but your camera is frozen. You look a bit... someone needs to screen grab this. You look a bit apprehensive, as if your internet's about to drop. Yeah. Maybe you should come out of the call and come back in. Oh, he's just completely gone now. Dang, he's just completely gone. There's the Aussie internet. All right, let's have a look at chat then. AoE massively improves, gives effects. Yeah, rolls per enemy, Foximus, yeah. That's the feeling I got, because started using those for party dungeons, and it just feels so much better than Arrowstorm from Ranger, using not even using Mage Pervain from Charmer, mainly using Mage's Dance from Bard, because first of all, cheaper to spec swap. But when you get those procs from the triple magic up, okay, we have some alignment camera issues, but hopefully Dangy joins us back shortly. Yeah, you get those. Dangy's back. Yeah, okay, Dangy's coming back. Get those triple magic ups, and if you're a deity, you even have the chance to get the deity proc as well. So you get the deity channel proc as well. Everything's doubled twice, and you are just steamrolling through. Absolutely steamrolling. And that's super fun. Because Heretic, I guess before it felt like more of a tanky mage, whereas now, especially with the magic increase, the base magic increase, which I think it got up to 650 around there at level 250 as your base magic stat, which is pretty hefty. You know, that's a third of a top tier Arisen Morrigan macro pillar. So definitely pretty strong. And I reckon now, like, Heretic and even Deity, Bard or Charmer, just absolutely carry through party dungeons. And I'm not even sure if you can use how strong Bard would be lower tier. You know, if you got, because the Lucas Gauntlets are what, tier 7 items, so you know, presumably you can hop in at tier 7, pick those up, and we might have some action.
Am I back?
Yeah, kind of. Ah, there we are.
Kind of.
There he is.
Kind of back. I think it got too hot in this room. My whole computer just like shut down. So that was good. Bit of screaming across the house. Is the internet down? No, it's not. We're back though.
We predicted you were going to overheat at the start of the stream.
Oh, mate. It's a theme, isn't it? It's a theme. Yeah. I've turned the aircon on. It might be. Tell me if you can hear a buzzing. Yeah, tell me if the stream. You can? All right, yeah. I'll turn it off.
I mean,
it's getting warm in here.
Maybe you can open the window.
Yeah, then you get to hear my neighbors. So we'll just get hot. That's all right. That's how we'll roll. I heard the question about does this hitting multiple enemies proc things like your Lugus Gauntlets and other statuses. I'm not sure that that's the case. I don't believe it's the case. I understood that. I can follow that one up, I reckon. But the way that I understood it was that it's purely your Berserk and, well, not Berserk anymore, actually, but your Life Siphon things, those will definitely hit multiple enemies and hit you back. And now my lights are broken. But I don't believe that, the others do. But that's worth me just having a bit of a chat to the boss man about. So it feels like when you use Lugus Gauntlets, you're actually getting those procs way more frequently in Horde mode when you cast like Mage's Pervain or Arrow Storm, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a general feeling in chat as well. But I know Odie likes secret mechanics, or he likes the community to work stuff out. But maybe some clarification clarification is always nice.
But sometimes he likes secret ones. Sometimes there's ones that weren't entirely intended in the first instance. So we could find out either way.
The fact that Life Siphon and the dot only procs once, that's quite a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was one that there was quite a lot of feedback about it, because initially the Berserk dot was hitting you for every enemy that you hit, and people were just dying without, you know, the math in their head to work that out was pretty challenging, especially if you then got burned as well, and you're going to get burned five times. It was one that was easy enough. You know, you want the game to be fun. Sometimes people like feeling like they're very, very strong and not easily killed, so that's okay. It's fine. So probably a good change there.
But yeah, no, I think the mage changes, and I remember when I first played through, Omnimancer was my first tier 9 class. I played through as mage the whole time, actually, initially.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember feeling really outgunned compared to Nyx's and Bahamut. So I think I remember clearly I got to level 214, realized people were doing ridiculously more damage than me, switched to Bahamut as soon as I could. and never looked back. So now, hopefully, these Omnimancers just feel a bit more powerful.
Well,
always good.
Yeah, that'll be good. I think Omnimancer had a really strong niche for a while there. With once Sequencer came in, and they could cast Sequencer like Summon Dead or Sorrow, and they obliterate their opponent straight away.
Yeah, I mean they can still do that even more.
Yeah,
efficiently now. I mean, talking about class line path trees being aligned. I mean, there's a tier 9 class there which has Steadfast, and the tier 10 version doesn't. And that is Nyx. What do you think about Realm Shifter getting Steadfast?
It's an interesting conversation, right? Because eventually that's... So right now in Tier 10, it's 3 out of 5 with 2 out of 5 without. I think what's really cool is that my understanding of how things get handled is that there's never a closed mind to... how do we manage mechanics in general going forward? And I know that there's definitely, from the community's perspective, a tendency to go, well, these are the mechanics that we understand and we know exist, so let's just jam those onto the classes that are here. You know, like everyone else has it, why don't I have it? I don't know that, you know, those are perfect worlds that exist right now. Nyx is a strong class, right? Nyx was always a very, very strong class for T9. If you go play Nyx, then you play, even if you play Titan Guard, which lives really easily, it's slow. Nyx is both fast and tough. You know, like there wasn't a lot of parity there. Omnimancer took a while to get to a spot where it's really fun. Now it is really, really fun. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe it is that they need to be brought in line somehow. Maybe it's not the way that you think, though. Who knows, right? Yeah. Like it could go the other way.
That's a good point, talking about Titan Guard and the late game warrior tree. I mean, Titan Guard could... You know, Titan Guard could definitely do with something else. Or people could just play it really offensively and not choose Cataphract. You know, choose Berserker. Choose Swash even. You know, you can use Ward Gear with low defense and, you know, start dishing out damage, actual damage.
Charmer.
Charmer, yeah, maybe. I mean, I honestly still think Berserker is probably... You know, that 50% damage. Get a Demi Halberd, you get Ward as well.
Pretty good.
Pretty tough to give up. But Endgame Warrior Tree, Gilgamesh. The balance patch that wasn't. I'll say this, you know, get this out of the way at the start. I personally wish Northern Forge would have just pushed through a change, and if that change initially was, you know, give Spike Shield 3-2 turns rather than 1 turn, I would have liked to see it go through and then work on the feedback afterwards. You know, there could have been there was a lot of feedback pre-change that feedback from nothing really, just an inkling of what was coming. You know, nobody had actually played with it, and now with you know, carry that through into January, we've got Ash and Rubies. You know, there's talk. Okay, we are talking end game here, but Gilgamesh can now solo Arisen World Morrigan in less than 3 minutes, which is quite strong.
Balinor can, right? Like Balinor can.
Yeah, we're talking end game. But you know, if you're talking end game, Realm Shifter can't do that. End game, Deity can't do that. Beowulf, end game can't do that. You know.
Yeah.
So. And it's not even close, really. You know, you're talking at least double the time. So you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you take that literally, you know, you could say Gilgamesh is twice as good. in that certain piece of content.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, it's got to be acknowledged, right? You can't just, like, shove this under the rug and hope that nobody brings it up again. The thing that's really important to note is that it will be changed, right? Like, this is something that's definitely been acknowledged as it's an outlier. I think, like, primarily the parts where it's showing it's a clear outlier is in PvP, because, like, turn one, you can hit Spike Shield with heap of crit and kill a person straight away.
Yeah.
And then in the raiding, obviously with raiding, the big thing that sort of makes it stand out there outside of the massive damage and the penetration that makes it just keep going. Gilgamesh synergizes so well with its large ward pool that it's just constantly recovering its ward, which recovers its mana. Like you say, with the Ashens now, you can recover your health. So basically you're just topped up for a long time and you're not going to die. So yeah, it's definitely something that I know that Odie's very conscious of, right? Yeah, like he doesn't, think that, you know, he's not going to sit there and not do anything about it, but he's got to do the right thing about it. So I think what was really good is there was risk with the amount of feedback that was coming through that potentially we needed to make sure everything was balanced before anything went out. And based on all of, and there was a lot of feedback. I'm not sure if you read through the Reddit in particular. Reddit was going crazy. It was a lot. And you can't ignore it. You have to pass through and look at what people have to say. That's the consistent thing that Odie's done forever, is that he cares about people's enjoyment of the game, and he wants the best product, right? So, I think it was a good decision to go ahead and say, all right, let's land everything else so that we can give people, some sense of fun, especially with the 10 days of raids happening. We want our heretics to feel like they're having a bit of fun. We want our deities to feel like they're having a bit of fun. We want our Beowulfs to not feel like they can't do anything, in raids, et cetera. So let's get that out. And now we'll have to revisit again. It is really interesting the way that the feedback comes up. I'd probably like people to know that it does get tested. Like, this stuff isn't just like a Odie goes like, yeah, I reckon that'd be cool, and that'll work fine, I'll just throw it out. This stuff gets tested, right, to see how it plays. And
you made the additional client for testing, right?
Yeah, so that's something that was talked about ages ago, is like, you know, there was a lot of complaining about the fact that testing happened on the same client, and that's not ever going to be a thing ever again, so that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, this stuff does get tested, right? And there's numbers that go into it, so it's just interesting that people might not assume that's happened prior. It definitely does. And yeah, I think there will be a change. I just don't know exactly whether that's still going to be the one that originally went with, okay, or whether there's going to be something that will achieve a similar feel in a different way. You know, there's all this different talk about in that Reddit thread, not internally. So I'll allow Odie to announce whatever he announces around game changes. But in that Reddit thread, there was talk of things like, why don't you just cap the crit chance? Why don't you just make the defense actually matter for the penetration of Spike Shield? Why don't you make it so that not so much ward is being used? So instead of going, you know, like your 15, 20, 30 or whatever, why don't you drop that right back? But it's got to be taken into account with the fresh Gilgamesh and whatever. So this is a really difficult conversation, because you don't want to cater just to the top 1% and make it based around the feel of that top 1%. So when we say that Arisen Morrigan now dies in 3 minutes, it doesn't. It dies to about 4 people in 3 minutes, and then the rest of the world, it still takes either 2 to 3 runs or maybe more. If you hit T10 and you go Gilgamesh, you're not going to beat Arisen Morrigan. That's not happening. You need to still acquire gear. You need to still ascend. You need a Godforge, stuff like. So it has to take into account the whole experience. So what I hope happens with it is, personally, I've played Gilgamesh for a long time. I only use Spike Shield 3 for PvP and for raiding. I rarely use it in Endless, as much as people say, like, this will kill Endless for Gilgamesh. I actually use Spike Shield 1 mainly for Endless, and that wasn't changing, so there was not going to be a concern there. I only use Spike Shield 3 when something has, like, 800,000 health later and I need to, right, because it does so much damage. but I also missed like most of the time. So it wasn't like it was just, it saved me the whole way through. I think if that still changes, as long as you can play the class in another way, which is what I mainly did, right? If I did gauntlets, I would use sortie, or I would, you know, use realm strikes, or I would use other skills that you still can use as Gilgamesh. If there's going to be a change to it and people are really, really concerned that Spike Shield 3 is Gilgamesh, which I disagree with. I don't think they are the same thing. I know that there's this close affinity because of what it does for you in raids and what it does for you in PvP. As long as there's ways to play the class that are fun, like the other classes have, like you're not locked to one skill for other classes, then that'd be great. And maybe that can bleed over into Titan Guard. Like you say, maybe Titan Guard can have something that makes it fall a little bit more in line with Gilgamesh, where that feels like a more seamless transition. So it's not a massive power spike, I guess. But yeah, I mean, your face tells me you have some thoughts also.
No, for sure. This affects a really small number of people. So firstly, I think however long it takes, we should be completely agreeable with. And maybe we will not see the leaderboard, the top 100 with the 90% Gilgameshes for too much longer. To be honest, I don't know what it's like right now.
But, yeah, you know, I'm not sure.
It's still my go-to raid build. Just so easy. And, you know, I'm not one of these four people who can raid Arisen Morrigan in 3 minutes, by the way.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate that play style is, you know, somewhat easy to build and very, very effective and low risk. Low risk is the thing that, you know, paired together. If you had low risk but you weren't the fastest, it wouldn't be a problem. For but sure. If you're the fastest and you have no risk, then that becomes a problem. So, you know, Titan Guard, no one really complained about Titan Guard, even though it never died. Titan Guard was the first class to solo Morrigan. So, you know, no one really complained about it. It was slow. That's why, you know, because it could live, but it was slow. So if you could be bothered putting 30 minutes into a raid, more power to you. But yeah, I think people should expect that this will definitely change in some way. And I would love them to, you know, this is just a personal desire. I'd love them to put a lot of faith in this guy. And let's see what we can land with, before assuming we know it all and, trying to burn down the house before we give it a shot.
Great worst thing is as if you work for the company. Yeah. So, one change, let's talk about another change, which I really like, actually, is Assassin.
This is brilliant. And,
I know you like it as well. I know you've been playing.
Love it.
And actually, yeah, I saw something that you did, which I thought, huh, that looks like a good idea, Dangy. I might copy you. You filled up an Arisen Gandering, which has, I think you had a Demon Forge that had like 12 slots, I think, 12 adornment slots.
Yeah.
You filled it like half and half with, firstly, Spores, which is an adornment that drops from Naginin. Procs, Sleep, Light, Poison, you know, those kind of things. And then you had a bunch of Kerberos Eyes, the elemental ones. And so not the Pale Eyes, which has the most ward, but each of the four basic element Kerberos Eyes, which, because they have that element on the jewel, on the adornment, it can then proc that basic elemental status effect. So, you know, the fire one can proc burn, et cetera, et cetera. So I saw this thing. I'm like, okay, that looks nice. You say it's really good. Yeah, I better see for myself before I trust what Dangy says. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, let's try this out. And, mate, it feels really, really good. It feels really nice.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, the proc rates and all this stuff, you know, Assassin Jewels as well I used.
Yeah.
Use it in Endless, use it for raiding, and it feels super nice. I can't wait to do more of these. You've been having
around.
You've been playing with it mainly with Deity, right? Which also got changed, you didn't mention.
Yeah, so Deity got a few changes which are really cool. Like, it got buffed stats across the board. You know, most expensive class is now the strongest in, it seems like, nearly every stat. Like, its attack stat nearly matches Gilgamesh now. It's like 34 different to Gilgamesh. Dex is off the charts. Its magic stat isn't as high as Heretic, nor is its attack stat as high as Realm Shifter. But, yeah, it can be played as melee now, which is a big deal. And the same with Beowulf, like Beowulf's attack and magic are equalized. Same with the whole Valhalla line. Same with the god classes, actually, like your Tyrannus and High Tyrannus, they all have equalized stats, which is awesome. I've been playing Deity flat out, as I've done a couple flat of videos out on different ways. Yeah, flat out, yeah, nonstop. And Assassin is one of the ways. I use it for both raiding and for PvP. For PvP, it's so fun just going in there. If you cast Sleep Dart on a Gilgamesh or a Deity, you will proc it, right? Like with Assassin, if you use that, it gets through Steadfast. That's so a big change, right? Like, for so long, people have gotten away with not wearing immunity gear because they didn't need to. They had Steadfast 2. Steadfast 2 made me immune, right?
Pretty much.
Now, it gets through that, so it's so fun. And then if you use a weapon like this, so yeah, it's 13 slots. So I've got 5 spores and then 2 of each of the Kerbro size. So if I go ahead and cast Envy, which can also curse my opponent. So if they're not using a Fallen or a Risen Shield or a Avalon Crown, I can actually curse them as well. So I hit Envy, and if I hit them, because I usually do it, I sleep or freeze turn one, so they're static, and then I hit them with Envy, and it'll bleed them, it'll poison them, it'll paralyze, like all these different things. It's so fun. So you can actually fully status, just CC people, basically crowd control them the whole way. I did some live PvP with it when Assassin went live, so I think I did it day one or two of the changes. So does anyone want to do some live PvP? And it was a good bit of fun. I'm not going to acknowledge Pooh Man if he's talking in the chat. I will not. I will not give him his thunder. Pooh Man came in and slept me straight away, is what happened. It was good fun. It made it so like the Gilgameshes that I fought didn't kill me with their spike shield because they were status affected the whole time, because Gilgameshes aren't using immunity gear; they're using full ward gear. Awesome fun. And then for raiding, I use it with like Assassin jewels, you said, and with Arisen Mammon jewels. So I don't need to load my whole weapon up with it, which is cool. Like, I can actually only put 2 or 3 and it's a pretty high chance of proccing. And if I use that along with like the Arisen Mammon ones, which will actually drop the raid's magic or attack stat by using those. And Assassin procs it so much that I spend the whole battle just not dying, because I can now, I don't have Life Siphon on Deity. That was one of the changes.
Oh, yeah.
So I can actually go down to, you know, very low HP using something like a Double Edge, and then I can just sit there smashing it with, I actually use Swordplay a lot because of the procs on Swordplay as well.
As well, yeah.
So things just are constantly having status effects going on. The other thing is Omni Strike as well. When I use Omni Strike, it nearly always hits all 4 statuses straight away. It's so fun, man. I really, really enjoy it. It's not obviously the fastest way to raid, but it's super comfortable. Like the risk of death is so low there that it's just great fun. So I've been playing Deity Assassin quite a lot for raids, a lot as well, actually. All is melee. Running Deity as melee for everything. Deity Ranger, Deity Raider, Deity Assassin. It's been awesome fun.
I mean, I guess you could do the same thing with magic, because the magic stat and the attack stat are the same for Deity now. So swap in Heretic Jewels instead, you know? I really, really dig the flexibility there.
It procs DC automatically now. So it's got that skill called the Deity, which, or the passive ability called the Deity, which will actually proc Deific channel randomly through battles, which is awesome. It's not like something that is up the entire time, so it's not necessarily a perfect replacement for casting it yourself or having Ashen Phoenix with a couple of Freya's Charms and Tamer, but it's something that just randomly goes off. So I've actually been running Deity with the Lugus Gauntlets.
Yeah.
So if I do a raid, I'm like, sometimes I'll have nothing up and then I'll do a sword play and then like I get my attack up and my DC up and then I've got a temporary attack up from my sword play and they've got their defense down and then it just goes crazy. The randomness is just so fun to play with.
It does sound super fun. You know, you're doing your consistent average damage and then all of a sudden you get two turns where you're like, I don't know, you do like quadruple damage.
Yeah. It's so fun, so cool. That's awesome. That assassin change, I reckon, is a really big deal because for a long time, that spec hasn't been one that people really care to play. It's interesting that I'm using it a lot on a class. It's probably more meant to be aligned to like Realm Shifter or something, I guess. You're using it. You said you're using it in Endless now, yeah.
So the last, I tried it out in Endless, the last kind of runs I did, and super helpful for sure. You can drop, actually the plan was and still is to get a couple of weapons, change it up. So if I have like Assassin Jewels in there for like a really beefy Berserk enemy, you know, you want to try and proc the defense downs immediately. Yep. And then you can, you know, fire off a massive multi-hit skill.
Yeah.
And try and hopefully kill them.
Yeah.
And the other kind of options would be probably, or, you know, I guess you could do a mix. And, you know, this might be where my finesse Chotel comes in useful. But the Arisen Mammon Jewels, the teardrops, even like the normal Mammon teardrops, you can mix a couple in there to get the different procs for just shredding their attack and magic so they can't destroy you in one hit.
I'd be interested to hear how that goes in Endless, actually, because late in Endless you die in one hit to a lot of things, but if you got rid of their attack then you'd zero them out, right? If you've got the three berserks up and you've got all your other stuff gone,
definitely zero them out. Useful for any class, really. You might not zero them out on other classes, but you will still, you know, if you have typically other classes, okay, we'll ignore Beowulf, but the other tier 10 classes, you will try and do Endless with a decent amount of ward. So you certainly, you know, reduce that incoming damage. So plan is to use it for Endless. I actually played around with Assassin pre-change in live PvP a bit, and I didn't find it so bad. What was I using? I can't remember really why I was using it, but didn't find it too bad. I had decent success against I think another Realm Assassin who was actually really strong. I think it was Gambler. He's very high on the leaderboard. But we randomly popped up on live PvP, and then we were like, okay, this is an actual fight. I'm pretty sure he was Assassin, you know. I was Assassin.
Yeah.
And we ended up having like a 30 fight match or something, like going back, changing gear a little bit here and there. But the statuses was huge.
Yeah.
And Assassin makes that, like next level. So in the next, in the next, you know, big PvP tournament, which will hopefully be coming relatively soon, I think we'll see a lot of Assassins for sure. So yeah, really great change. You know, it makes it it is a unique spec now, which has a niche use, but it's actually really solid at that use case. So really like that change.
Yeah. It's incredible. And you can use it with all these different classes relatively effectively. Like you can use it with Beowulf. And now that you've got those skills that cause your pet to say like block for you or whatever, if you've got an increased block rate, you got this skill that you use, and then it means that your pet just basically keeps you alive immortally, and then you can use Assassin with it so that you can just CC your enemy the whole time. It actually makes it a really irritating class and spec combo to play against. So that's interesting. You
don't need Beowulf, Bahamut, you don't need to go Tamer anymore, which is another really solid change.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I think like that actually opening up the opportunity to go off Tamer is a big deal for those Beowulf. You know, like this being that chat for ages about, oh, it'd be cool to play Beowulf Cataphract or whatever.
I mean, it has one of the highest base wards stats. And, you know, back when Spice Shield 3 worked on other classes, Beowulf, Spice Shield 3 was pretty destructive.
That was the first class I used Spike Shield 3 on when I unlocked it. I went straight to Beowulf, went into Arena. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
So I haven't actually played around with Beowulf yet. I've got quite a few builds in mind which I want to fire up, but we'll get around to that. Hopefully hopefully soon. I don't think you've played Beowulf too much with the changes. You've been focusing mainly on deity, right?
Yeah, mainly deity. My Orna time is split between a few characters at the moment. So when I'm playing my main, I'm playing around with deity, getting used to it. I haven't touched Gilgamesh since the changes, actually. I've been just loving deity so much that I'm having a heap of fun there. I am inclined to want to continue playing it and try and Godforge some of the gear I've got for it, etc. But yeah, that was a cool few changes to make I think it feels a lot better for a lot of the classes now. You know, like Heretic feels great, Deity feels great. Beowulf, from the reports I've seen, looks like it's playing pretty well. There's a lot more people that are mucking around in that space. So that's great. This is all cool stuff. And then we've got those other little changes in the Refract, Reflect, and Counterattack 1 and 2. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if you played around with those much.
Yeah.
So works well for a pretty niche use, I think, in the Counterattack. Say you are you're against a deity or a heretic that's lining up Ultima against you, and you get to see that they're charging it up for a turn, you can actually use Counterattack. It'll do some splashback damage to them, and if you both die on that turn, the person who did Counterattack actually wins that. So
what if he gets quick cast?
Yeah, well, it's cool if you can see that it's coming. If it's getting quick cast, then you could spam it. I wonder how many people are sitting there as like a Beowulf assassin sitting there just spamming after they've done their call of yore, just spam Counterattack.
It's quite funny, actually. Yeah, go just like full foresight in live PvP and only use Counterattack.
Yeah. Wonder how it'd go. But yeah, there's a lot to that patch. And for it to drop amongst all of the other stuff that was going on, dude must have worked himself overtime, I think.
Oh, you know better than us, don't you?
It's always busy. It's got a lot on.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Busy means stuff going on, which is good. We all enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, 2022, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New
Year. It's going to be a big year, right? Good year. Yeah, the Phoenix.
Yeah. Rise again. Yeah.
Happy for this one to come back?
Oh, of course, yeah. This is the pets are so good for Tier 8 onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend everyone to try and get it. You know, gives a good target for, you know, like tier 7-ish players to try and get up to tier 8 to at least get the pet. Because for me, you want to use it over Pale Dragon. Like, being able to have Daedric Channel sooner before tier 10 is like, oof, it is huge. And, you know, now massive you can use some Dragoon Charms and like a couple of Bestial Eyes, and you can get that buff rate up to like 10%. And, which doesn't mean. And it kind of means the Epic Channel will be up more than 10% of the time, right? Because it doesn't just last one turn. So, really good.
Yeah, that's right.
The gear, okay, you can get, I kind of spoke of this on my last video, that you can get gear down to tier 5, and stat-wise it's okay. it's I think it's pretty well balanced coming off Scrooge, which has ridiculously good gear. So, you know, gear's okay. Some new enemies in the Dragon Roost, so Dragon Roost got some love.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bosses and the Phoenician mages, the Phoenicians in there. Interesting stuff. Definitely, you know, I've definitely gone out and targeted that gear. Especially these rubies, ashen rubies. Interesting mechanic. Basically bring in lifesteal, which is which we hadn't really had before in terms of gear. No, we have had.
Blade.
Yeah, the Ruckle Blade. okay, 50 HP doesn't really make or break a build, but you know, maybe stick some ashen or rubies in there. Now you got a build.
I think it's cool. And you know, like, I know that you mentioned them before with Gilgamesh, and I know that there was some high tier players who were saying, like, you know, only need one of these and it recovers your whole health. And that's true when you do, you know, 100 times your health or 10 times your health or whatever it is in one hit. But yeah, for like the T7 players, this is actually a big deal, you know, like being able to get any amount of health back per turn is actually, that's helpful. And, you know, same with T8 and T9, like they're starting to do a little bit more damage. And if they can get a bit of health back as they play, that's actually really cool. They're not necessarily going full ward gems in their weapon at those tiers. So I reckon that's a really cool mechanic to add in. And then obviously the gear itself has that unique stuff. I think, is it swordplay-esque?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Stuff on them.
Props the 4 basic stat ups, yeah. Single ups, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, which is an interesting sort of mechanic to add in as well. And obviously it can be kind of helpful for people to get another source of silk. Silk is one of those materials that's a little bit of a pain to get. So this month, if you're doing Dragon Roost all month and you're doing even the raid bosses, getting a heap of silk this month is kind of cool. And the shields from the raids are kind of awesome. Like the, was it Burn and Blind? Immunity. Because you don't get blind immunity from many things. So that's, that's a cool thing. So yeah, I think it's not a bad month at all. I've actually really enjoyed. I went out a bit to try and hunt down Dragon Roost, just doing it solo. It was good fun. Like actually going out and doing Dragon Roost, not way vessels, like actually leaving the house and traveling around trying to find Dragon Roost. And it was so fun, man, because haven't played GPS for a while. You know, like it's not been as much of an option. So when the option arises or the opportunity arises, taking advantage of it has been good fun going out and about. Convinced my wife to drive for me. It's great now because I could say it's for work.
Oh yeah, brilliant.
Like, can you drive me? It's for work. I need to not drive. Oh yeah, okay. I've enjoyed the like hunt for those rubies, and I'm using a couple. I think I did a video of Deity Raider, utilizing the rubies to sort of, it gives the flexibility to play that old life siphon deity style, without taking away the opportunity to play it as a redlining style as well. So you've got both available to you right now. So I wonder if we'll get any other cool adornments like this or accessories that do similar sort of stuff in future.
Maybe some sapphires for mana siphon. Mana steel.
Yeah, mana steel, right? Because mana siphon is something different in the game, right?
I forgot that's already a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That could be a cool thing, just having your mana constantly topped up. Although a heretic would never want to use that.
No, but other classes would.
Mm-hmm. Realm shifter could use mana for sure. So I am enjoying this month.
Dragon Roosts are really nice this month. Generally, they're quite all right most of the time, but with the extra stuff in, of course, you have the extra God Forge chance. Also at tier 9, So you can Godforge from tier 9, even a bit more. I mean, Gratisan is already tier 9 as well, so, you know, another tier 9 Godforge chance. Yeah, why not?
Gladysan, and I don't know what's going on. I should have learned what's going on here before this podcast, but I'll ask you now that we're going.
Okay.
He takes my arrow storms like a champ. Everyone else I can kill, but Gladysan.
Oh, he's tanky. No, he's tanky, yeah.
Tanky as. Like, he doesn't die to my arrow storms. I'm like, what's going on here? Just high defense, right?
This is the arrow storms from your deity, right? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. No, he's definitely a pretty tanky lizard. So bring your swordplay or assassin jewels.
Yeah, he's been the one that if I see them in Dragon Roost, that means that I don't finish that floor in one turn. I have to take a couple of turns.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can change. I know you were liking Deity Ranger, right? But have you thought about going Deity Charmer?
I think I played it, but I watched, was it your video recently talking about Bard over Charmer? So I tried Deity Charmer, I think day one of the changes, and then I started playing around with Melee and really liked Melee, so I was sort of stuck with it. Cool. But I should give it another shot. I've got an Arisen Fae Crow Song there. It's like 171 or 172 or something like that. Okay. So it's still good, though. It's got like 1600 magic attack stat on it. So I should give it a go.
Give it a whirl. You can use that give on it a whirl. You can use that on Ranger as well if you want to.
Yeah, I use a Arisen Bab Cathar instead because of the proficiency, because deity doesn't have proficiency with anything unless you get it from a spec. So use that one for the proficiency.
The bows, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Good stuff. So what about some any spoilers, Dangy, that you can share with us or not?
I think I got something. I think I got something. But I wanted to probably just plug for a second. We talked about it lightly before that I am starting some videos up, and one of them is the series where we're going to do a Let's Play starting from level one. So I've kicked that off. Episode 2 should be out pretty soon. And awesome. Mate, do you know how fun it is playing through the game again? I did a couple of characters before the Let's Play to just sort of like get a feel for playing the game from scratch again. And it is so fun right now to like start a character and actually play it from scratch without thinking about, oh, I'm going to get the best gear the whole way along. Just play it. Just play it normally. You know, look at what the dailies are each day and go like, oh, it wants me to walk 700 meters. Cool, yeah. I'll do that. Or it wants me to kill a goblin lord. Cool, I'll go and find one and I'll kill it. Like playing it properly, it's actually really fun. It's in a great state right now, I think, if you were to start a fresh character. But that's been awesome. That's really renewed my love of the early game stuff. So that's been fun. But starting this playthrough, I hope to probably use it as an opportunity to engage a lot with people. The YouTube account is called Modangi_NF, which is identical to my personal Twitter handle. I mean, if you were to ask questions through the Honor RPG one on Twitter, I'll answer them as well. But if they hit Modangi_NF, I hope to be able to integrate some of that into the series as we go. I have started as Earthen Legion.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I hope to be able to join a kingdom. I'm not sure if you know of any Earthen Legion kingdoms that might be good for me to jump into, mate.
Yeah, I think I have one, actually. It's called Arisen Orn the Legends, Dangy. I think I can make a space for you. You are very welcome.
Sweet. There we go. Arisen Orn the Legends. That's awesome. So I'll have to make my way in there and have a bit of fun. But yeah, people can feel free to ally that account, that Modangi_NF. Even if you send me questions in game, I'll be able to look at those little orange dots and bring them up. I'll probably have to do that while not recording in case people send cheeky stuff. I'm really, really excited for that. And along with that, what I also hope to be able to do is, you know, if there's new mechanics that get introduced, we can go through explaining what happens. It doesn't necessarily have to be through that playthrough series. We might do other little videos along the way. But yeah, I'm learning how to do YouTube videos. I think I've put a lot of energy into thumbnails in the first place because, you know, thumbnails are the most important thing, right? But yeah, I'm really, really excited for that. So yeah, that's probably a good space to watch, I would say, for people. Like, keep an eye on that because maybe stuff comes through there. Yeah, but
I will Danny, we'll definitely link your YouTube, your Northern Forge YouTube, that you're posting all these on the links in when this goes live on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, when I saw that first Let's Play episode, starting off level 1, going up to level 10 in the sunshine, in the heat, yeah, your phone overheats.
Overheated, yeah.
Yeah, no, Matt, honestly, it just makes me want to go start a new character again. Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, it's really good fun. You don't need to play efficiently. You just, you know, I think what you tend to hear, if, you know, players come from other games, other themed games, and, you know, they have to wait for stuff to happen or wait to kill things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those monsters early on, they just keep coming. Yep. There's no stopping them. So you can play ad infinitum, which is great. So, yeah.
So cool. It's so cool. And yeah, if you do get the opportunity to be mobile, which I understand is very challenging for quite a number of people at this point in time, luckily there's mechanics that exist that allow you to complete all of the content without being mobile, which is, you know, thank you to Odie. But if you do get the opportunity to be mobile, it's actually really fun to walk out and about and see world bosses, you know, like, we take that for granted when you have played the game for 2 years and, you know, you're at the end and whatever. But walking around and seeing, you know, a pharaoh that could drop a really cool weapon for me at the start of the game, like, that's great fun. It's really good fun walking about and seeing stuff. Finding a dungeon you didn't know was there, finding a bestiary that might have a pet that I could use. I'm playing the whole thing with my other buildings turned off so that I have actually either build things or find things. So no cheating here, proper from scratch.
Yeah, but yeah, actual new player exciting experience.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm pumped for that. So yeah, I'll try and keep those coming out fairly regularly. I got to try and work out a schedule because I have two jobs as well. So got to fit it in. But on the spoiler front, it's not really a spoiler, more of a teaser and an excitement builder. First off, I want to say thank you to everyone. When we did the last episode, I asked for some feedback in terms of what events would be cool. And you guys just came through with the goods, right? We did a Reddit post and everyone, there's so much comments in there of cool things, and we've got to take that away, and there's some really cool things that we can work on as a result of that. So, you know, sometimes with feedback, it's not going to be something that gets implemented straight away, but it definitely gets acknowledged. Odie's always operated that way where he really, really appreciates feedback, and, you know, things hit the docket and hit the to-do list, and they will potentially get there one day. So keep providing good ideas. You guys just really came through with the goods in that thread. So massive thanks. We've got a big, big list of things that we could do now, which is awesome. And on that, there's going to be one that I want people to keep their eyes out for, because there's a really cool opportunity. We're going to do a thing where we're going to ask people to enter, I guess, submissions on what, like, at the background of a character, like, they could design their own character in honor, so to speak. So you could do your gear and you could fill it with all of these different items and try and make the lore behind this character, like, what's the backstory of this character. And the potential outcomes of this is that we might be able to create a custom NPC based on the background that you give us, with potential cool in-game rewards for the winner, things like titles and custom sprites, because we now actually have a artist on the Northern Forge team.
a dedicated pixel artist that isn't Odie, right?
Yep, dedicated pixel artist. So we've got Coven on the team now, and that guy's talented. I'm not sure if anyone's seen some of his work that he's done. He posts on the Discord quite a bit. There's a channel on there called Fan Content, and he's made a heap of sprites for other people, and he's got great energy, super enthusiastic.
Before he got the job, he was like posting stuff, and next day he'd post like a whole, not just one sprite, but like a whole set of sprites. This guy.
Got to have a meeting with him, and he has just so many layers of extraordinary about him. He's such a talented and accomplished person in general. He just kept coming out with these other little tidbits of just greatness. Oh my God. But yeah, really excited to have him on the team. He's super energetic. He wants this thing to succeed, and he's got some great ideas. But we might be able to tie him in really early in what I'm proposing here we're going to do. So I think that I might have something posted up and Reddit sometime in the coming week. I think maybe potentially either end of next week or start of the week following, where people will get the opportunity to submit basically a character design, right? So it'd be great if it was using gear that already exists in Orna, so that we can help flesh out potentially the lore behind those gear items and the character. So, you know, we're not looking for something that has the coolest stats. Who cares about that, right? This is straight up,
well,
you know, what's the background of this character?
Okay. I mean, NPCs, you cannot attack them, so they don't have any stats, right?
No. But if you can tell us a bit more about the character based on, you know, what items they have, what's their history, it'd be cool. Some concepts that you could come up with. I'm really interested to see how the creative minds attack a problem like this. You know, there's some people that will come up with some really, really cool stuff.
Got quite a good one, actually. It's called like the, maybe a name, well, I know what the sprite looks like. It's got four legs, but he's got the face of Dangy.
Who did that? The Dangator.
Post this in the chat.
That was brilliant, that thing, when I saw it. But yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a really... Probably was. He does some fantastic stuff, does Blue. But, this is a pretty cool opportunity because cool, what's going to happen at the end of it is that somebody's going to get their own sprite and, you know, a title. It'll be pretty unique. But then
My mum works for Orna.
Yeah, my mum works for Orna. But then the flow on from that is it actually gives us the opportunity to implement that as an NPC in the game with maybe its own storyline to follow. So, yeah, this is a real opportunity for the community to actually have something that they put themselves into the game. I'm actually super excited to see what people come up with in terms of a bit of lore for Orna. I really want to see what people's interpretations of the backstory of Orna are and how they tie that in together. It's something I'm really excited for.
Can't wait. Plenty of creative people out there. Get your thinking hats on. Get your pen out. Start writing up. So, will the submission be? You won't have to like submit a piece of artwork, or maybe you do like make the submission whatever you want it to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I think creativity shouldn't be bound by such strict things. I will set it up with essentially it would likely be housed on Reddit. So that you could do your submission, and then what's really great about submissions is underneath it, people can get really excited and, you know, have threaded conversations under it, with the potential to link things like imager links. So you've actually got whatever imagery you want to attach to help, strengthen that backstory. Let's see what you got, but I'll make up a template and I'm going to try and keep it not super strict so that people feel confined in what they can do. But I would really like to see some written words about the backstory, really take me for a journey, you know, on who is this character, you know.
Love it.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun one for sure.
That's coming up, hopefully, yeah, end of this week or within the next few days. So,
yeah, excited, yeah. So, really what are we? Yeah, so we're Saturday. So, yeah, either end of next week, so 15th, 16th, or the start of the one following. So, not far off.
Cool. Nice one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dangy. Eddie, if that's what we're getting as a spoiler, it's not too bad. I mean, not too bad. We were going to see it relatively soon. Spoiler alert, I don't have anything else to add on our topic list, Dangy. I don't know if you have anything else.
No, that's good for now, I think. I'm excited for the YouTube stuff. So you're going to have to teach me. You're going to have to take me under your wing and help me work out the algorithms.
Well, I need you. First, you need to teach you how to play the game first. Nah, it's quite easy, Dangy. There's not too much Orna content there. So just stick Orna in everything, put the badge on everything, post it on, make a dedicated channel in the main Discord that says, Dangy content, and you'll get thousands of views. It's not that complicated.
Just make one for me specifically. Exactly. That would go down well, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's pretty much your Discord now, so why not?
brilliant. Right. Awesome, man. Well, thanks. I've had fun. I always have fun doing this, so yeah, thank you a lot.
Have fun. A few people in the chat live had a bit of fun. Maybe there's some kind of backstory or in a lore story that a certain fallen Pooh man can come up with. Really excited to see his submission. I wonder what the sprite would look like. Custom sprite would look like. Yeah, but Dang, it's been great. Been definitely worth getting up early to join you on the pod, and hopefully the next one won't be too far away. Really excited to see your more videos, your Let's Play continuing on, and yeah.
We'll speak soon, mate. Thanks so much for having me again, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
See ya. Ciao.